Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. We sing this song every so often to praise God.
Amen.
It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Amen.
For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created.
Amen.
There are obviously three elements to this statement of praise. First, that God is worthy. And we need to consider this idea of worthiness. And then a second is that He has created all things, that God is a creator, and that's the reason why He is worthy. But what I really want to get to is that third element, where it says the motive, the reason why God created all things, and that's for His pleasure. And that's what I'm going to deal with in order. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Lord, I'm asking You because we do not have the words that can reach all the way into the heart. I don't have it. I know that You do, though. You can reach into someone's heart and let them see. Let them see what we can't even describe, what we can't explain. But You can help them to see. You can open their heart and let them see Your purpose, Your love, Your person. And I ask You to, Lord, this morning, because without You we can do nothing. Thank You for this soul that gave himself to You,
Amen.
Lord, and wants to be baptized and follow You. There's nothing better, Lord. We recognize it. We know it. And that's what we want out of our life. We want
Amen.
To live for You. I ask You to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thou art worthy, O Lord. There are two really unfortunate and unacceptable circumstances. And I believe you will agree with me that this is something we do not like. You don't like to see it. I don't like to see it. We don't like to hear about it. And that is the first one is when someone who is not worthy receives. And the other one is when someone who is worthy doesn't receive. We don't like that. Now you got to ask yourself, why? Why don't we like that? Well, because worthiness is something real. You guys realize, I don't know if you understand that, and that really is part of my second point that I have to make, but that God created all things. You do realize, though, that if this were all just a big accident, then there's no such thing as worthiness. There's no such thing as someone deserving anything. If all this is just a huge accident, then none of that stuff exists. But we all know it exists. We all know that some people are worthy of some things and some people are not worthy. That's one of the things that I have against democracy. And that is, it seems like the most unworthy people get elected.
Yeah.
If you compare the people that get elected from the people that don't get elected, the ones that are most worthy, the people with character, the people that would tell you the truth, the people that would stand up against wrong and do the right thing, they won't get elected. Now, I know some of you guys are in love with democracy, but I got a real problem with it. I'm not saying I want to live under any other kind of government. I'm just saying there is a problem here when you have somebody with character that can't get elected and somebody who's a sleazebag that can.
Yeah.
It's got to bother you, doesn't it? Doesn't it bother you? Would it bother you that a draft dodger gets elected and a person that served, even got wounded, even was a prisoner of war, doesn't?
Yep. Yeah.
That would bother you, wouldn't it? It bothers you. Does it bother you when someone who will not work gets food stamps and a check from the government?
Yes.
Not someone who can't work. Don't feel bad. If you can't work and you get that stuff, that's fine. That's what it's for. I'm talking about people who could work but won't. They prefer the check. They prefer the food stamps. They don't want to work. They'd rather watch daytime TV. Which means there's something else wrong with them. But the truth is, it bothers you when somebody gets something they shouldn't get. Does it not bother you when we find out that a certain percentage, pretty high, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but a certain percentage of Social Security checks are sent outside of the country taking care of people who aren't even Americans? I think some of you guys are a little bit surprised by that. Does it bother you when someone who does not deserve the credit gets the credit? I heard about that guy that he's the one who invented or developed the way of checking DNA. Before he had developed this thing, you could not do any DNA because you did not know how to multiply the DNA so you could do the tests on it. And he developed a way to multiply the DNA so we could actually work with DNA, and he didn't get the credit. The company did something here, did something there, and fired him, and he's off on the side and didn't get the credit. Found out later who it was. Sorry, I can't give any more details. I just read that story a while back. I'll tell you one I do know. When I was in high school, in the Olympics, they had the marathon runners, and they all ran, and an American, I don't remember what year it was, 72 or 76, because it was back in that age frame of myself. I know how I was pretty young, and I was still living in the house, so it had to be either 72 or 76. But the American runner was an older fella named Frank Shorter. And he was running in front of everybody else. He took off like a shot and never slowed down. He was ahead of the pack the whole way. Never slowed down. Just ran and ran and ran, and he looked like he wasn't tired or nothing. He gets all the way a block away from running into the stadium, and somebody goes running into the stadium in front of him and takes the entire victory lap with everybody standing up and cheering. Some guy who hadn't even run the marathon just ran in there and ran around the lap and everybody cheering and cheering and cheering. And then he comes in afterwards and he gets a few little smatterings of applause. I don't know if you remember that, but something's wrong with that, right? You don't like it. You don't like it when someone unworthy gets the credit. And you don't like it when somebody worthy gets completely ignored. Makes you think about somebody like Uriah the Hittite, an honorable man that dies because of somebody else's sorry attitude. Somebody like Naboth, that has a lot of character, and he's not covetous, and he's not trying to make a dime, whatever, and yet somebody else wants his vineyard. And so they stand up and accuse him of doing something wrong and stone him to death. Oh, that don't sit well with you. And the reason why it doesn't sit well with you is because you're made after the image of God, and it doesn't sit well with God. There is something to be said for worthiness. And I have a feeling that our generation has lost touch with the idea of worthiness. That people don't know what is real character. I'm telling you, the people who get honor nowadays, it just goes against all logic. It goes against your sense of right and wrong. Look at these Hollywood celebrities. Getting honor for what? Because they're pretty? They actually, people want to know their opinion about things. People want to know what Britney Spears thinks about hunger in Africa. Why do you care what she thinks about anything? Why do you care what any of these people think about it? Why does anybody want to know their opinion? Why does anybody want to hang a picture of them on the wall? Just because they expose more of their skin than they're supposed to? That's why they want to do it. But that doesn't make sense. The heroes people have. It's horrible. It's horrible the heroes people have. People actually exalt the most wicked of the people. Exalt and praise. You see somebody, they are the worst excuse of a human being. They are losers in every category except they can sing better than somebody else. And some of them can't even sing. And yet they are idolized the world over. And you know, it doesn't even matter if they make a mess of their life. They do something that's prison worthy. And they don't go to prison, but they do something that's prison worthy. And people still want to know what they think. That people still want them on their talk shows. People still want to write articles about them, when what they ought to do is just ignore them and forget them and try to wash their hands from having touched them. That's the way it ought to be. But people don't have an idea of who's worthy. But you get an old man that has served all his life, raised his family, done the right thing, and lived right and lived honestly, and people don't respect them. The Bible says, stand up for the hoary head. That means you young people, you see an old folk walk in the room, stand up. That's what that means. Give them some honor. Why? Because they carried the load. They carried the burden. They did the work. Now they deserve the honor. You get it. Does it matter to you that God is worthy? Not that God can. See, God can. God can get all the glory. He can get all the power. He can do anything He wants. He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you. He's smarter than you. He's got you beat every different direction. If He wants to take you out, He can. There's nothing hindering Him whatsoever. But does it matter to you that these 24 elders on this chapter, these 24 elders that had some say in heaven, these 24 elders that had some sense of authority and understanding right, they cast their crowns at His feet and say, Thou art worthy. Not just that you are strong, not just that you are smart, not just that you are all these things, you're worthy of it. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy. You have dignity. You have honor. You're worthy of respect. Amen. Have you ever been praised when you felt like you didn't really deserve to be praised? Amen. I have. I've gotten people say some really good thing about me, and I'm thinking, boy, I don't want you to know what actually happened. You feel dirty. You feel like I gotta come clean. That's not what happened. I didn't do anything special. And I've seen that an awful lot. Somebody, you know, dive in the water and save somebody and for risk their own life, whatever, and then they give them medals and they give them, you know, honors and whatever, and they always say, you know, I don't feel like a hero. I feel like I did what anybody would do. I really wasn't thinking. I just did something. And yet that's still better than, you know, giving the guy that stood on the side a medal for standing there watching. All right. This whole chapter starts off with God looking for someone worthy. He's looking for someone worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. This is talking about the culmination of everything when everything's going to come and be solved and resolved. Everything's going to happen. The book that he's talking about is the book of judgment, and he's going to open it up and fix the problem. Amen. I want you to know, salvation didn't fix the problem. There's still an awful lot of wickedness in the world. Forgiveness doesn't fix the problem. Repentance doesn't solve the problem. The problem still has to be solved. The problem still has to be fixed in the future. Some people are saved, but that didn't pay the debt, right? That didn't take care of the whole problem. There's still issues. Some people aren't saved. So something is still left to be done. And there needs someone who is worthy to do it. Have you ever wondered where we get our idea of being judged by our peers, what we call a jury trial? We're judged by our peers. That is, someone like us has to stand in judgment and declare us guilty. It's not really right for someone way out above us to just make these judgments from afar. So we say, we want to be judged by our peers. Someone in our shoes can say, he shouldn't have done that. That's what a jury trial is about. Well, God right here is looking for a man who is worthy to open those judgments. A man. Could he find any man? And you know what it says? It looks in heaven, it looks on earth, it looks everywhere. For somebody worthy. And John was weeping much because nobody was found. They looked for men that were worthy to judge the other men, and they couldn't find anyone. And that means it can't be solved. It can't be fixed. And then John says they found a man They found the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They found a man that's worthy. By the way, Mary wasn't worthy.
Amen.
Just saying. Virgin Mary wasn't worthy. Peter wasn't worthy. He doesn't hold the key to your entrance into hell or to heaven. Not Peter, because he was there and they didn't find him. He wasn't worthy. And your grandfather wasn't worthy, and your daddy wasn't worthy. They looked, they saw him too, but he wasn't worthy. Nobody was worthy. Only one that was worthy was Jesus Christ. They found a man worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. And this man was worthy.
Amen.
If you get a professor, gives a test, and everybody in the classroom fails it, I would say that's an indication that the test, either the teacher is a very bad teacher, or the test isn't very reasonable. It doesn't fair. If everybody fails it. But if one person passes it, what does that say? One person passed it. You guys don't like that answer, do you? If one person passes it, the rest of you failed it.
Amen.
I got to say, the fact that Jesus did it, Jesus fulfilled the law, Jesus was found worthy. That's why God could look down and say, "This is the one in whom I am well pleased."
Amen.
He didn't say that about you. He didn't say that about the Pope. Not even Pope John Paul II. He didn't say that about the Virgin Mary or Mother Teresa. He said it about Jesus Christ. I am well pleased in Him.
Amen.
He is worthy. He's the one. I found a man that can open the book. I found a man that can make the judgment. I found a man that justifies God in all of His laws.
Amen.
This is the man that justifies God's laws.
Amen.
It justifies God's righteousness. This was the man that justified God's demand.
Amen.
That stands up and says, God was worthy, He gave us good, reasonable laws, and everybody else failed.
That's right. Amen.
You failed.
Amen.
You blew it. Don't blame the teacher. Somebody passed that test. You can't blame anybody else. You failed. You sinned. You did what you didn't have to do. And what you shouldn't have done and what you knew you shouldn't have done. Come on. Fess up. Admit it. You know who you are. You know what you've done. And Jesus passed the test. Justifying God. And that's why all heaven rejoices. And they cast their crowns at His feet and say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, that God might be justified when He judges." All right. Remember this. You're not happy when somebody who is worthy does not get the credit. You're not happy when somebody unworthy does. You realize this is what people have against salvation by grace?
Amen.
This is what people... You know that a lot of modern Bibles will put the story of the woman taken in adultery, they'll put it in brackets and say the oldest manuscripts don't have this. You know why? Because the old folks didn't like that story.
Yeah, that's right.
There were people who would actually take scissors and cut that story out of their Bible. Just like the modern versions will cut an awful lot of stuff they don't like out of their Bibles. They do that. Just warning you. You get a new Bible, you'll have stuff cut out of it. And it's not because there's any real good evidence to say we shouldn't have that. The reason why they cut it out of it is because they don't like it. They get rid of the last 12 verses of the book of Mark because they don't like those verses. They get rid of that warning against the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Did you know that? If you have a modern version, you wouldn't know that. But the old versions, all of them said that. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know why they changed that? They don't like it. They don't like that statement. And it might have something to do with them loving money. Not sure where I was going with that. Oh yeah. The fact is, people don't like the idea of an adulterous woman just being forgiven.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you're a straight up standing man and you don't commit adultery, or you're a straight, upstanding woman and you don't commit adultery, and then comes someone along that's committing adultery and God says, okay, it's all right, I don't condemn you either, you're okay, walk away, don't do it anymore, but we're going to let that one go. Well, that would bother you. Now, if you're an adulterer, maybe that doesn't bother you. Just like a thief might not judge another thief terribly harshly. But if you're not a thief, I mean, what would you do to the guy that broke into your house and took all your stuff? What would you do to him? I bet you'd be pretty harsh. I bet some of you think we ought to take him out and shoot him. We can't fix him. We can't solve him. You know, the recidivism is, you know, huge in these areas. We can't stop them from doing it. Just take them out and shoot them. One time a brother asked me, what can we do about these kids that keep tagging on, you know, spraying paint on people's walls? Take them out and shoot them. Well, if you're wanting a solution, it's not a good solution, but it's the one that works. Listen, people don't like the idea of forgiveness, of redemption, of salvation. That's why so many religious people reject the doctrine of salvation by grace, no merit involved. Not the good people are going to go to heaven. Just saved people go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Sorry, folks. Because your good is just compared to somebody worse than you. That's why you call yourself good, because you think if you're better than that drunkard over there, then you're okay. That's why people cannot stand the idea. They believe in worthiness. Try to remember that when it comes back to warn you about who's worthy.
Amen.
Because God's trying to tell you something here. Somebody's worthy. Who's worthy? God's worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy. Remember that. You are so sure that worthiness is an important factor. That somebody who is unworthy shouldn't get the credit. And that somebody who is worthy should. Well, there's going to be a conclusion. All right, there's another point here. And that is that God is creator. Why is He worthy? Is He worthy because He's full of love? That's not what it says. He says He created all things. Now, listen, yeah, I don't know if you've been fooled by this idea that we've got nowadays. Really intelligent people nowadays say that things weren't created, it just kind of like happened. You know, and if enough things just happen, well, this is what we come up with. In fact, they're so sure that these things just happen that they're looking for more ugly creatures out there in outer space so that we can, you know, communicate with them. This is what they're doing. The idea is this all just has happened, and it's inevitable. It's got to happen. It's just what happens. I got news for you. Nothing just happens.
Amen.
Nothing. There is no such thing as something that just happens. The truth is, and I'm speaking charitably, the theory of evolution is absurd.
Amen.
And it's unscientific.
Amen.
It did not happen, and it cannot happen, and that can be proven with a calculator, and it can be proven with just your common sense. You know, and every computer programmer knows, DNA does not code itself. We all know it. We all understand that. These things cannot happen. And I don't care how intelligent the fella looks that's telling you it just happened, he's wrong. Okay, he's wrong, and he's being absurd. The reason, I mean, if you want to believe that, it's because you want to believe that.
Amen.
If you want to believe that it's all just an accident, it's because you want to believe it's all an accident. You might ought to figure out the motives for your believing that. The truth is, it didn't just happen. We were created. We were created by an incredibly intelligent God that invested a tremendous amount of design and thought and preparation and invested Himself into a tremendous creation that will make you marvel every time you investigate it. Just dig in a little deeper and be amazed. This thing is beyond your imagination. It's way deeper than any of us have even come to imagine yet. It's so wonderful, so amazing. God created all things. Now, if you spend your summer building something, then you want it. Yours. You think you deserve it. You're worthy of it. You worked on it. It's only fair, right? Well, this is God's. All of this is God's. God did it. He built it all. He built you. It's more than that. It's not just He built us all. He built you.
Amen.
You personally. The Bible says He knew you before you were formed in the womb.
Amen.
And then He formed you in the womb. He made you look like you do.
Amen.
Crooked nose and everything. Amen. He made you look like you do. That's why. That's what He wanted you to look like. Sorry. That's what He wanted you to look like. He made you male. He made you female. Stop complaining about that.
Amen.
Stop trying to be something else. If you're female, just be female. Don't go get an operation. Don't dress differently. If you're a man, don't put on an earring. Come on, folks. Come on.
Amen.
You don't need an earring.
Amen.
You don't need to be pretty. God didn't make you to be pretty. Nobody looks at you to say, oh, how pretty. Don't spend an hour on your hair. Don't go to the hairdresser. You're a man, be a man.
Amen.
If you're a woman, be a woman. God made you to be pretty. God wants you to spend some time and be pretty. That's just the way it is. Now I know you say, well, I don't like the way it is. You didn't make you.
Amen.
You're not the Creator.
Amen.
It's not about you.
Amen.
It's about the one that made it all.
Amen.
It's about the designer. Can you imagine Mona Lisa complaining about how she was painted? I don't look like that. Well, you say, oh, you look like that to me. You can't complain about the way you're created. You have to say, well, thank you, God.
Amen.
I appreciate this.
Amen.
It's amazing what people will complain about. I had a friend that won the lottery. And I said, what's going on? I got 5 of the 6 numbers. If she had gotten 6 of the 6 numbers, it would have been $5-6 million. But she only got 5 of the numbers, so she only got $2,000. Spent a dollar, made $2,000, and came sad to work. That's a real good reason never to spend a dollar on a lottery ticket. I told her that's the best thing that ever happened to you. You didn't win that lottery. It would have ruined your life.
Yep.
Well, I would have liked to tried it anyway. I know you would have. That's why sometimes God makes decisions outside of your control. He's just not going to let you ruin your life. He's helping you out against your will sometimes. Helping you out. You might ought to consider that God is God. God is the Creator. God gets to decide. God gets to decide what marriage is.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
You don't get to decide. The state of Texas doesn't get to decide. They can make any laws they want. They can say marriage between a man and a woman. And God doesn't care. Whatever you say. Doesn't matter. You can make a law saying a marriage can be between 2 men or 2 women. And God doesn't care. God's the one who decides.
Thank you, Lord.
God says what it is. He created them in the beginning, male and female. And if you're wise, you leave that alone. You say, God, whatever you say. Why? Because He's God.
Amen.
He made it. He does whatever He wants. And why shouldn't He? He created everything.
Amen.
Does that mean anything to you? He's worthy.
Amen.
It's not just that He has the power. He's worthy.
Amen.
Who do you want running the show?
Amen.
You want the one that knows everything running the show. You need to ask the person who knows. Why did He make you this way? Does the lump tell the potter, why did you do this to me? What are you talking about? Why? God did it to you. God's the one who made you how you are. The God is the one. Let Him be God. Let Him be God. And why don't you just be the created man? The created woman. The woman that is thankful. The man that is thankful. That says, God, You're God and I like what You did. You've done good things to me.
Yes.
I've got a goodly heritage. The lines are falling out to me. I have a goodly heritage. I mean, it's good what You've done. Because it is good.
Amen.
You know what God said at the very beginning? He said he saw all the things that he had made, and lo, it was very good. Oh boy, it was very good. All right, he's the creator. Now here's what I wanted to get to, and I got 5 minutes to finish it up. All right. Why? Why did he make all things? For his
Amen.
Pleasure. You know, he didn't need you.
All right.
He wasn't
Amen.
Lonely.
All right.
Isn't that amazing? He was not lonely. He did not need you. He did you for his pleasure. It wasn't forced on him. It wasn't like he had a situation and he had to make a world to save him from some problem. No, that's not what it was. God is like a masterpiece creator. He says, I'm going to build something that I'm going to take some delight in. And yes, pleasure means that sensual pleasure that we all know about. We understand that. We know what pleasure is. You've ever tasted some really good food? You know what pleasure is. You ever had a really good foot massage? You know what pleasure is. Sure you do. We all understand the sensual pleasures. We all understand the colors. We all understand the tastes and the music. These things are invented by God. This is not natural. It doesn't just come from nature. You can't enjoy music just because music exists. God had to put that ability in your brain. And He did it. Those are called the rational senses. And you do a little study on the rational senses and you will find out they're even much more amazing than the physical senses. Try humor.
Amen.
Nobody can even explain humor. Look it up. Try to figure out what humor is. Nobody can explain it. Nobody knows why it works, but it works. Have you ever had a really good belly laugh? We were watching this little prank video on the YouTube where this kid's in the shower trying to wash his hair, and this kid, that's his brother, I guess, he keeps on squirting more shampoo on his hair, and he keeps on trying to get it out. He says, what kind of shampoo did you buy? It's not... I mean, I just laugh and I laugh. That is just so funny. It's just pleasure. I don't know why. That's probably kind of wicked pleasure. I'm not sure whether that's what God created. But God made us able to enjoy a good laugh. God put that in us.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you know God is a God of pleasure?
Amen.
You know what it says in Psalm 16? At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. God's a God of pleasure. That's a pretty big statement, folks. God's a God of pleasure. It's the idea of satisfaction. The idea of fulfillment, of enjoyment, of accomplishment. You know how much pleasure you would have had if the Spurs had won?
Yeah.
Ooh, you would have partied, you would have bragged. You would have bragged and you didn't even play not a quarter. You didn't play a minute, but you would have bragged. We're the best, we're number one, our city's super, super. Because there's some pleasure in victory. There's some pleasure in accomplishment. There's some pleasure in doing something that's good. And when you get done, you just like to look at it. I know you. You like me. You get something done. You did a good job. I just finished putting in a new bathtub in our bathroom, and I did a good job. I like to just go in there and look at it. I do. I say, hey, Deb, come here, look at this. Looks good, doesn't it? That looks good, man. If you come over to my house, I'm liable to show it to you. God is a God of pleasure. God wants pleasure. He wants to have a good time. He wants to enjoy. I think maybe you ought to just try to enjoy more.
Amen.
Maybe you ought to wake up in the morning and complain less and enjoy more.
Amen.
Because maybe that's what God is like, and He made you after His image. He made you to be a little bit like Him. He wants you to enjoy. Bible says He made all things for us to enjoy. That's what it says. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the Bible. God created all these things for us to enjoy. Let me tell you something. He wants it. He loves it. He loves pleasure. He loves that fulfilling sense of satisfaction so He can look and say, this is very good. I'm enjoying watching it. He loves the showcase that He's made. He created pleasure. That's something created, folks. It's something that works. It really works. Pleasure works. The tastes, these things were created. These things were designed. This did not just happen. He created pleasure for you to understand what it's about. He wants you to be able to discern the difference between pain and pleasure. And He wants you to know which one is better.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that's why He hates sin. Because it causes pain. And God gives pleasure. All right. Let's make a point. God's motive is pleasure. That's what it says. He created all things for His pleasure.
Amen.
Don't lose sight of that. Let's make some points. God's purpose was thwarted. Now, I know. If you've got any Calvinists in here, they're going to say, that does not make sense. God's almighty. He knew everything from the beginning. And how is it possible that this is a contingency plan? How is it possible that His purpose was thwarted? He had to have done all this. And there's a lot of things I don't know. And I'm not going to try to be all consistent and mathematically line it up on both sides of the equation. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, that He made all things for His pleasure, and then He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now that's what He said. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So, He's not getting what He wanted. He's not getting out of people dying and going to hell. He's not getting what His purpose was to create them. Let me tell you something else for all you five-point Calvinists, and I'm not just trying to pick on you. I'm just going to warn you. Sometimes you don't understand everything, and sometimes you've got to let the Bible speak for you and not speak over it yourself. Let the Bible speak. Let it tell you. And I believe in election. I really do. I believe strongly in election. And I believe what the Bible says, even on the Calvinistic side, and that will bother some of you Arminians. But when you're a Calvinist and you look at this and you say that God created the evil people for His... That's what He did. He created them so He would have someone to condemn. That's not what it says. You can't find a place in the Bible that says He created evil people just because He likes to see them suffer. He didn't create anybody to throw them into hell.
Amen.
The Bible says He's made all things, even the wicked, for His pleasure. And it's got thwarted. Something happened. He gets no pleasure out of it. He gets no pleasure out of condemnation. He gets nothing good. This is not what He wanted. He did not want death. God did not create death, folks. He created life. God did not want hell. He did not want suffering. He did not want these things. He created everything for His pleasure. And He gets no pleasure out of somebody suffering. He gets no pleasure out of somebody dying. He gets no pleasure out of pronouncing judgment. That's not what He wanted. There's something else you might ought to understand this. God is willing to endure this unpleasantness. We just had a Sunday school lesson this morning on the reality of hell. We're not making this stuff up. God said it's there, and it doesn't bring Him any pleasure, and He's willing to endure it. Did you know there are millions of people on earth that bring God no pleasure? I'm not pleased with him. He might be looking at you and saying,
right,
you're bringing me no pleasure.
All right.
He might be looking at your decisions and saying, that's not bringing me any pleasure. There's nothing good coming out of that. I don't see anything good. In fact, I see a whole lot of people harmed by your decisions. There might come a time when God says, I can't put up with you any longer.
That's right.
I'm done with you.
Amen.
God puts up with an awful lot.
Amen.
But there come a time when God says, I'm tired of getting no pleasure out of what I created. I'm tired of this unpleasant feeling. You ever had an unpleasant feeling you're tired of? Sure you have. Just get sick to your stomach and you vomit everything there is to vomit, and then you say, I can't stand this anymore. I don't want this anymore. You go to the doctor. Get a little pain, you go to the doctor. You might hate the doctor, but you go to the doctor if you get enough pain. There's all kinds of things that are unpleasant that sooner or later you say, I'm not putting up with this anymore. It could be a pebble in your shoe and you'll finally stop and take off your shoe. Probably should have done that hours ago. Listen, God gets tired. God gets fed up with people who bring Him no pleasure. And God is willing to endure that unpleasantness of taking the wicked off this earth. Putting a finish to it. Stopping the problem. Now I want to ask you. It was, you admitted it earlier on, it's not right for someone who is worthy to not receive. That's not right. It's something unacceptable in your mind. Someone who is worthy to not receive it. Now I want you to ask yourself, is it right for God, who created all things for His pleasure, to not receive pleasure from you? Is that right? Is there anything right with you living your life in such a way that it does not please God? And I'm telling you, logically, you already said it yourself, it's not right. None of you thought it was right when Frank Shorter didn't get the applause as he went into that stadium. None of you thought that was right. That was wrong. Somebody else got the applause. That was wrong. Well, what about God? God created you for a reason, and He had a good reason for it. And He gets no pleasure from you. He gets nothing from you. He says, I have no pleasure in this. I have no pleasure in what you're doing. I got no pleasure in your sins. I got no pleasure in what you're looking at. I got no pleasure in where you're going. I have no pleasure in your friends. I have no pleasure in your thoughts. I have no pleasure in your decisions. I get nothing out of it.
Amen.
Now, is that right?
No.
That is not right.
No.
That is unacceptable. Well, how about if someone who is worthy gets what he shouldn't get? God is worthy of His pleasure. He's worthy of getting everything out of this world that He deserves. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of your life. You know what it says here? It says, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. He's worthy of glory.
Amen.
Not that nincompoop you got stuck up on your wall. God is worthy of glory.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is worthy of glory. You probably wouldn't open your mouth to say it, but He's worthy of it.
Amen.
He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of all the angels in heaven saying, thou art worthy, O Lord. He's worthy of those 24 elders bowing down at His feet. It's not that He has the power and they're fearful and they grovel at His feet. He's worthy.
Amen.
He deserves it. He's Amen. Extremely intelligent. He's smarter than you.
Amen.
He's powerful. He is innovative. He's marvelous. He's worthy.
Amen.
He's worthy of your love.
Amen.
He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. You know why God killed Herod? Herod killed James with the sword. Not even a good reason, but that's not why God killed Herod. God killed Herod because he did not give God the glory.
Amen.
That's what it says. There's a lot of reasons God could have had to kill Herod. Herod needed to die. God had a good reason to take him off the earth. That man was wicked. He was rotten. He was raunchy. His grandfather was even worse. Killed a whole bunch of babies just to protect his own little son. But God killed Herod because he gave not God the glory. God is worthy of glory. Does your life bring God any glory at all? God is worthy of honor. We kind of lost the idea of honor,
right.
Of reverence. Did you know that the Bible says women should reverence their husbands? I got two amens out of that. Did you know that the Bible says women should reverence
Amen.
Their husbands?
Amen.
You know, you ought to go home, get your Webster's out, and look up reverence. That's some really deep honor, and it's a very showy honor. You know what God deserves honor? God deserves honor.
Amen.
Way more than the husband.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
He deserves honor. He deserves a day of rest.
Yeah.
Oh, think about that. God deserves some time. God could deserve a little bit of time every day to read His book. God might deserve a time every day for you to stop what you're doing and say, God, thank you.
Amen.
Maybe God deserves a moment before you start pigging out. If you say, God, thank you for this food. I wouldn't have nothing to eat if you hadn't invented this stuff. God's worthy of honor. But let me tell you one thing else He's worthy of. He's worthy of power. You know what that means? He's worthy of control. He's worthy to run your life.
Amen.
He is worthy, if He wants to make you a stub, a stump, a knot, a scab. He can make you anything He wants, and He's worthy. Did Job have a right to complain?
No.
No right to complain. Do you have a right to complain? Guarantee you don't.
Amen.
I guarantee you don't. Why? Because He's worthy. He's worthy of control. He gets to decide what marriage is. He gets to decide what happens when you do such and such a thing. He gets to decide where you live and how you live and whether you're sick or whether you or whether you're well. He gets to decide it all. Why? Not because He's powerful. Not because He can. Not because He owns you. It's because He's worthy. He's worthy. Most of the time we deal with the concept of salvation from the standpoint of what you need. And you need salvation. You need forgiveness of sins. You need the redemption found in Jesus Christ. You need the mercy that He offers. You need that. You need it bad. Your life is a mess without God. And we deal with people on the basis of their need. But have you ever stopped to think about the major basis for you serving God is because He's worthy? He is the most amazing personality you will ever meet. He is the most amazing person you can imagine. And He's worthy. He's worthy of your life. If there were no other reason for you to give your life to Him than that fact that He is worthy, you ought to stop right now and say, God, everything I have is Yours. Everything I decide is Your decision. I will obey Your rules. I will obey Your will. I will follow Your word the best I can. Why? Just because You're worthy.
Amen.
That's as good a reason as you can have to come to God and say, God, forgive me for not living for Your pleasure, for not living to bless You, for not fulfilling my purpose. Have you ever used a screwdriver as a chisel?
Amen.
If you're poor, you have. Take a screwdriver and try to chisel through concrete. See how long it lasts. That's what you're doing with your life. Because you're living not for the purpose that you were intended for. You're living for a different purpose. You're doing your own thing. You're going your own way. And you're messing up your life. Pretty soon you're not going to have a chisel and you're not going to have a screwdriver either.
Amen.
You know, God is worth. If you would live for His glory, if you would live for His pleasure, you would have the greatest pleasure you can imagine. You would find your purpose in life. And I don't know how to convince you any more than that. Your life ought to be giving God pleasure. Let's bow our heads.